George Capanelli here. How are you? Welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
Good morning, George.
Hey.
I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, all interspersed with music interludes.
Today our topic is living no faster than feeling can follow. Alan and I are going to explore some ways in which we can get in touch with more of our wisdom and live lives of greater harmony and sanity. You'll join Sedina and me for a really delightful interview with Joan Borsenko, a best-selling author, expert on spirituality and healing.
And we also have our music segments with Bob Dylan, If Not For You, Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven, and James Brown. Get on the good foot. In our special features today, George has another Life Achievement tribute. We share a You've Got to Be Kidding news segment, and I will close with another Rudy rap to the music of Psychic Warriors of Gaia.
Hey, so welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. Everything has to do with loving and not loving. This quote from Rumi says so much about the path that'll lead us to lives of greater meaning and purpose, the lives that we were born to live. The title of our show today, Living No Faster Than Feeling Can Follow, is another key.
Well,
a key to, you know, waking up, staying in touch with ourselves, and this unique gift of life. It comes from a spiritual study called Thinking and Destiny. And it is, in our opinion, really an essential key to living lives of greater harmony and sanity. Remembering to live no faster than feelings can follow is of relevance to people at any age, but it's particularly valuable to folks like Alan and me and others of us who are in or approaching the second half of life. Why? Because in this complex time, a number of us continue to spend a lot of our time still trying to propitiate the gods of approval, security, and productivity that we worshipped in the first half of life.
In fact, contrary to the natural laws of life, which would have us change both our pace and where we place our focus as we age, many of us find ourselves doing more, pushing harder and faster in lives that often feel more challenging and oftentimes less satisfying. My hand's up on that one,
yeah.
But as yours is too, George,
yeah.
I know. Many of us continue to attempt to deal with life's opportunities and challenges by thinking, analyzing, worrying, and doing more. With so much thinking, worrying, and doing, however, is it any wonder that an increasing number of us sometimes get out of our touch with, or out of touch with, get out of the, you know, this feeling box, and get in touch with these feelings?
Yeah, and you know, these gods of approval and security and productivity and performance are what we call the gods of doing. And of course, everyone who fervently worships them encourages the strategies of this thinking and analyzing and wearing. And it suggests that it's much more important for us to do more, acquire more, and to especially become proficient at multitasking. Faster, more, and cheaper has become the mantra of the day in business. And so, of course, it's no wonder that the same mantra has bled into our personal worlds, where our so-called free time has become almost as pressurized and sometimes even more so than our work worlds.
crowded social calendars and a seemingly endless array of recreational activities that we often pursue with a mind-numbing and body-exhausting frenzy seem to have become the rule of the day. And then, of course, there are the many forms of entertainment and the whole digital world of increasing social media engagement that preoccupy our minds and often distract us from living in the present moment. Yes, it has become a fast food, do it on the run, media mad, 24/7 activity obsessed world where our bodies and our minds are constantly on the go. But in this fever pitched instant gratification world, what happens to the true language of the heart and the soul? What happens to our feelings, and what happens if we burn out?
Our scientists tell us that all of the elements in the universe are comprised of the same basic ingredient, electromagnetic energy. They also tell us that the only difference between a form that appears dense like rock and one that appears light like air is the rate of energy and the vibration of that energy. Air, for example, vibrates relatively fast. Rocks, relatively slow. The human body, which is neither as dense as rocks nor as light as air, vibrates at a level that's somewhere between these two other substances. So if all of the stuff in the universe is made up of the same basic electromagnetic energy, and the only difference between one physical form and another is the rate at which the energy is vibrating, then it must also hold that there is life in all forms, even those that we think of as inanimate.
So if you're willing, even if only for a few moments, to accept this premise that the only difference between human beings and the ground we walk on and the trees and the rocks around us is the rate at which each of us and these elements vibrate, then our sometimes casual indifference to the way we use or abuse countless numbers of other physical forms, the way we muscle them and do our best to bend them to our will and at times destroy them indiscriminately, might have to be reconsidered. Indeed, the implications become truly astounding. For if we are living in a universe in which each physical object, each substance, each element is alive, then we would be wise to treat each object, substance, and element with a new level of respect. Call it all divine. We'd be wise to stop acting as if we were masters of the universe and start remembering that we are not only one aspect of a very complex whole system and that we need to go faster than feelings can follow, but we are that of the whole. And we you know, energize and contribute to the changes in the whole, right, George?
Yeah. So what other implications does this concept hold for us? If we think at a frequency of approximately 1,200 words a minute, if sound travels at the speed of 800 miles per hour, if our sight operates at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, and our feelings operate at a much slower rate of vibration, then to stay in alignment with life, to be able to process and integrate our experience, we would be wise to slow down the speed at which we live. So as you take your next steps on the road to living the life you were born to live, we invite you to remember to experiment with going only as fast as your feelings can follow. Indeed, if you take only one piece of advice from our show today, please remember, your life happens in each present moment, and your feelings are a primary key to this present moment and to this one and only one life.
Age Nation Radio, our revolution is now.
Age Nation.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
So welcome to this conversation with the Wisdom Keepers with author, Wisdom Keeper, Joan Borsenko. Joan Borsenko is a PhD and one of the leading experts on stress, spirituality, and the mind-body connection. She has a doctorate in medical sciences from Harvard Medical School, is a licensed clinical psychologist, and is the co-founder and former director of the Mind-Body Clinical Programs at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, Harvard Medical School. Her books include Saying Yes to Change, 7 Paths to God, The Way of the Mystic, The Power of the Mind to Heal, Minding the Body, Mending the Mind, It's Not the End of the World, Developing Resilience in Times of Change, and your new one that will soon be released, I believe it's in October, is the Plant Plus Diet Solution, Personalized Nutrition for Life.
Joan, welcome to our show today. It's just a chance to spend some time with you, so thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome, George and Sedina. I'm really looking forward to this. I love who you are, and I love your work.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to have a mutual degree of admiration.
The best.
So, Joan, clearly you have an incredible and substantial body of work. We also share a number of mutual interests, so we could spend days in conversation. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
I think we'll have a chance.
But unfortunately, we have a relatively brief time. So one of the things we especially want to do with our listeners, those who are already familiar with you, we want them to come up to speed on what you're doing now. And those who are experiencing you for the first time, we'd like them to understand something about the woman behind the work, you know. Of course, we'll try to weave a good thread so that we'll go from here through to your next book, and we'll even talk about that terrific weekend you're going to do at Unity Village called Spirituality and Healing in June. Your earlier life, you know, there's a certain amount of mystery about this early passage that you made, that, you know, we know that someplace around 10, you went through an extraordinary experience. And although traditional psychiatry may have a lot of terms and labels that it puts on it, we also know that these things are pretty remarkable. Could you share a little bit with our listeners about what that was and what it was like?
Well, I sure can. Yeah. You know, George, people frequently say to me, why is it that somebody who is a scientist, and, you know, I really am not only a cell biologist, but I did 3 postdocs at Harvard in cancer cell biology, psychoneuroimmunology, and behavioral medicine. And it surprises people that I have a side of me that is really a mystic. And so what I tell them is I was a mystic first and a scientist second. It was my early experience as a 10-year-old that made me interested in healing to begin with. So in a nutshell, here's how it went. I was 10 years old, 5th grade. All was going well. And then one day I saw a scary movie with my mother. And within a week, I started to dream about the movie. That's not unusual on a child. But what was unusual is I began to hallucinate scenes from the movie, which was about headhunters and poison darts and snakes and scorpions. And I developed what psychiatrists would call an obsessive-compulsive neurosis. And that was, I had thoughts, and that was, unless I do a whole bunch of rituals, that ranged from doing all my reading upside down and backwards and repeated three times and washing my hands. I had dozens of these. I had to wash my hands hundreds of times a day. I thought the headhunters, who I could actually kind of see in everyday life, I was hallucinating them. But they were a little bit removed, like right on the other side of a veil, so that at any minute they could manifest in the living room and, God forbid, kill my unsuspecting family, my mom, my dad, and my brother. And that's why I had to do the rituals. So I was not only suffering from an obsessive compulsive disorder, I was also hallucinating. And this, I'm 68 right now, so I'm telling you a 58-year-old story. And back then, believe me, there was no Klonopin, there was no Prozac, there was no cognitive behavioral therapy. And the psychiatrists had nothing to offer except perhaps the hope that I might grow out of it. That was it. So I went along like this for about 6 months, and it was, I can't even begin, and I don't even want to remember how terrifying it was. To live in a landscape of primitive terror is unbelievable. And I stopped talking to my parents about it because I could hear them crying themselves to sleep at night, and I didn't want to add to their suffering. So one day, when I'd sort of used up all my coping reserves and I'd gotten sent home from school because, you know, all I have to do is tell the school nurse, gosh, I've been hit by a poison dart in my arms also.
Yeah.
Amazing how fast they call your parents.
Yeah.
But the what I did, because there was no other help, was to sit and pray. And believe me, I came from a family where prayer was not popular. You know, we were Jewish culturally, but they were really atheists. My mother was very disappointed by the Holocaust and the continued inhumanity and lack of compassion in human beings. And she said, forget it. There's no loving God. That's a delusion. Mm-hmm. And that was how it was. But, you know, the old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. So I sat to pray. And I had an experience for which I had absolutely zero context. And I would call that an experience of cosmic consciousness, when suddenly, in a good way, not the same hallucinatory way, I lost the sense of an individual self. And I felt myself, there's no good words for this, in solidarity, a part of all that was, all that is, all that ever will be. And the overwhelming sensation was love and trust. And when you've been functioning in a landscape of primitive horror, the feeling that you're completely and ultimately and always safe, and that although things are a mystery and you can't see the reason, it's all happening in divine right action. That was what the experience was. But I also got in touch with, you know, what through the years I've called the inner healer, and we all have one. And it's a part of us that knows a whole lot more than anything we've ever learned. And I had an absolute knowing, that kind of deep spiritual guidance, that I could recover from this mental illness, that it was entirely possible. And I also knew exactly how to go about doing it. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I knew that I had to quit doing the rituals, because if I kept doing them, I'd stay stuck. And then my next thought was, well, how am I going to do that when I'm not in this state of unity and safety, I'll be frightened again. And what I got was a download of a poem. Now, this is a 10-year-old poem, but I knew, I used it as a kind of superordinate ritual. I knew that if I was scared, it could bring back that feeling of safety again, and that's how I'd quit doing the rituals. So that was the story, George.
When we come back, let's talk about the poem, and let's also talk about another major transition.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
All right, we're back. George Capanelli and yours truly, Ellen Huttner. And I really like to hear about Joan Borisenko's experience at 10. Amazing.
Yeah, it is. And what's also amazing is that she is so accessible and available and willing to disclose what a lot of people would want to keep in the background in many ways, you know. And I was struck as I was re-listening, you know, as you and I are sitting here, and I was struck by the fact that she says, you know, I was a mystic first before I was a scientist. And when you think of a lot of people today, Greg Braden and Bruce Lipton and a number of people who are bridging the worlds between mysticism and science, they all report similar kinds of things, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't remember what I was doing at 10 years old that might have been related to the mystical. You know, I sure remember bad dreams, and I remember demons coming at me when I was on ether. And my tonsils were coming out, and I thought they were real, you know. And I'm not saying they're not real, as many of the indigenous cultures would say to us, that it's all in the field of all that is. and that it's multidimensional, and that actually in our bodies, in our physicalities, this is more the dream state, and that we can go to those realms. But I think we have choice about where we hang out. And like she pointed out, that the two things she found out about losing her individual self and crossing or leaving the body or going out of body, many people are having out of body experiences, is that there's a love on the other side that you can access across the veil, and that you can trust that space way more than you could trust what your ego mind is doing and what your interpretations are, as you were speaking about in the very beginning, of how many thousands of thoughts we're having in an hour.
Yeah, it's true. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was when she talked about the bridging between the private kind of horrors of her her dreams and whatnot, and that condition of love and trust and arriving at a place of right action. And in some ways, that kind of describes where we are in our world today. You know, on one hand, there are all these horror stories and fears and whatnot. And then, as you just said, right there beyond the veil, the next breath, the next outreach is into this place of divine right action and love and trust.
Yeah, I know from just being graced and gifted to interview so many people over the last 30 years, multiple thousands, the books that have shown me that there's something more relevant in some ways after death, when you cross the veil and or you have a near-death experience and come back into this body, it's about love. And that's what she talked about, too, about her bridging science and mysticism, found out about that the healing, the inner healer, it really resides in another place. It's not in the ego mind. It's somewhere, but it can be accessed right now, and that's the practice. That's what meditation does. That's what gets quiet. And the theme of the show, too much doing is not going to access that inner healer.
That's true. And next week we'll have another piece of Joni's interview, and she's really terrific, just terrific.
All right.
Here we are, time for You Gotta Be Kidding. Each week we look at some items in the news that show Alan and I at least how wacky the world is, and sometimes it gives us a lot of hope.
I'm still reeling from the DNA of dog poop in Italy from last week. That one I'm not going to forget easily.
So this is another short piece also about a dog from Care 2, the site. And the dog's name is Scruffy. Apparently an off-duty police officer and a volunteer who rescues dogs teamed up to save an old dog who'd been wandering the streets for months. Postal workers and strangers, when asked if they had seen the dog, admitted that they had and that it was heartbreaking. When the police officer and the volunteer finally found him, they discovered he was 15 pounds underweight, had a number of serious health issues. With weeks of care and support and a good vet, however, Scruffy started to come around. Here's how the volunteer who adopted him describes things. As they usually do, my pack of former street orphans had already graciously welcomed Scruffy into their midst. Not long after arriving at our home, the happily resurrected Scruffy was soon following my wife around and cavorting in the backyard with others who we'd rescued, you know. So it seems to me, as I think about this, Alan, that this is a story. We're talking about a dog, but imagine what we could do if we applied the same understanding and support to fellow human beings who are on the street.
Yeah, and there's plenty of homeless people there, too, which I'm going to rap a little bit about. That's going to be in the rap, just accidentally, although there's no accidents, all right? This from Simon Head at Salon. Amazon worse than Walmart. You might find your Prime membership morally indefensible after reading these stories about worker mistreatment. Simon says, quote, "When I first did research on Walmart's workplace practices in the early 2000s, I came away convinced that Walmart was the most egregiously ruthless corporation in America. However, 10 years later, there's a strong challenger for this dubious distinction, Amazon Corporation. Within the corporate world, Amazon now ranks with Apple as among the United States' most esteemed businesses. Jeff Bezos, Amazon's founder and CEO, came in second in the Harvard Business Review's 2012 world rankings of admired CEOs. Amazon is now a leading global seller not only of books but also of music and movie DVDs and video games, gift cards, cell phones, magazine subscriptions, anything. like Walmart itself, Amazon combines state-of-the-art business practices with human resources, practices reminiscent of the 19th and early 20th centuries. Amazon equals Walmart in the use of monitoring technologies to track the minute-by-minute movements and performance of employees. Amazon is also a truly global corporation in a way that Walmart has never been, and this globalism provides insights into how Amazon responds to workplaces beyond the U.S. that can follow different rules. In the past 3 years, the harsh side of Amazon has come to light in the United Kingdom and the United States. In Germany, on the other hand, a country that is employee-friendly, things are very different.
This from the mainstream news and the land of the golden arches. A McDonald's worker in Olean, New York, picked up the bill when some first responders came in after fighting a fire in freezing temperatures. But when she came into work the next day, she was fired. Heather Livia, 23, had worked for McDonald's for 8 years, has twins at home, and is putting herself through nursing school. She says she knows what it's like to work hard, so when the firefighters came in and ordered 25 breakfast sandwiches, Livia paid for the $92 bill herself. When a second department ordered $70 worth of food, she texted her boss to see if the company would pay the tab. But when her boss said no, she and the other workers picked up the bill. "You opened a whole bee's nest," she was told, and after her shift, she was fired. She said that she thought it was wrong, you know, but that's the way life is, apparently. So shame on you, McDonald's. Bad enough you pay your workers less than minimum wage and your executives over-the-top salaries. Now you fire workers for being charitable.
And from Eric Francis at Planet Wavers, just a quickie here. There's a place in New Mexico used as a nuclear dump. We know about it because we're based here in the Waste Isolation Pilot Project. The bottom line is that it was supposed to hold whip waste for 10,000 years, and they had a major leak that's still playing out. Supposedly everything's safe right now, but nothing lasts for 10,000 years. You know, you got to be kidding.
You got to indeed.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life. Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth, and at least that much of our faculties. HNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. HNation.com. For the generations who changed the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com. It's free. Sign up today.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back for the fourth segment of our program. Traditionally, Sedina opens this with a life an Enlivened Aging segment. She'll be back next week. Today we're going to do a life achievement tribute. It's our way of puncturing the myth of youth, and instead celebrating the lives of people who have done such terrific stuff throughout their life, but especially late in their lives. Today's life achievement salutes Helen Keller. Helen Adams Keller was born June 27, 1880, an American author, political activist, and lecturer. Helen was born without the ability to see and hear. Oh, no, that's not true. She was born with the ability to see and hear. Uh-huh. And at 19 months old, she contracted an illness described by doctors as an acute congestion of the stomach and the brain, which might have been scarlet fever or meningitis. But in any event, the illness left her both deaf and blind. In fact, she was the first deaf-blind person to earn a bachelor degree of arts. The story of how Keller's teacher, Annie Sullivan, broke through the isolation that Helen experienced was depicted in both the play and the film The Miracle Worker. Her birthday on June 27th is commemorated as Helen Keller Day in Pennsylvania and was authorized at the federal level by presidential proclamation by President Jimmy Carter in 1980, the 100th anniversary of her birth. A prolific author, Keller was well-traveled and outspoken in her convictions, a member of the Socialist Party of America and the Industrial Workers of the World. She campaigned for women's suffrage, labor rights, socialism, and other radical left causes. She was inducted even into the Alabama Women's Hall of Fame in 1971. She's remembered as an advocate for people with disabilities amid numerous other causes. She is a suffragette and a pacifist, and an opponent of Woodrow Wilson, a radical opponent to birth control and other things. In 1915, she founded the Helen Keller Institute. In 1920, she helped to found the American Civil Liberties Union. Keller traveled to 40 countries, making several trips to Japan, and became a favorite of the Japanese people. The key is that Keller did such extraordinary work. She died in 1968 at the age of 88. And think about it, sightless and deaf and making a huge influence on the world. We salute you, Helen Keller. In a few minutes, Alan's going to lead us through another of his remarkable Rudy raps. Let us give you just a little preview of what's going to happen next week. We're going to go more deeply into that great conversation on spirituality and health with Joan Borisenko. You'll hear great music. Sedina will be back with another terrific Enlivened Aging strategy. You'll hear another You've Got to Be Kidding. And I'll close with a commentary with some practical tips on how to live the life you were born to live.
And in between, don't forget to visit AgeNation at AgeNation.com. Get your free subscription to Next, our new digital magazine. Pick up a copy of George and Sedina's new book, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide for Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. I keep thinking we got to go back to the book here. I'd like to do more.
Good.
There's some great stuff in there. So we got to fit this in.
Thanks.
And if you like spending time and learning from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time, visit www.navigatingyourfutureconferences.com to learn about a terrific series of weekend journeys you'll want to be a part of.
So now here's Alan with another Rudy rap called Diatribe to Unify Who's Your Tribe.
Thanks, George. Okay, to the music of Psychic Warriors of Gaia. This is Obsidian from Excursions to Ambiance. Diatribe to Unified, Who's Your Tribe? Looking for your tribe? A community on the grand bus ride, traveling Earth far and wide, or just two in a taxi? You and your nest mate, sharing some journey of common fate, all metaphorically speaking, for some kind of heaven on Earth seeking, some kind of gathering in the aloneness, like E.T. being homeless, calling all non-aliens, tired of the perceived phalians, falseness now to the garbage palians. Who is your tribe? Where to start looking? Outside? Inside? Where to this ego persona do I drive to give it a rest, to spirit give my best? Time to make love my groom and bride, marry the heart, travel to the soul abide. Be the shaman. First collect your fragmented pieces, disown nephews and nieces. Shadow self outreaches. Divinity loves it all. Separation is the fall from grace on the grand ball of the grand ball, the dance of life. All invited, y'all. The ticket is wholeness, courage and boldness to self-realize. I am. You can temporarily leave the ego out in the coldness. All to remember who you are, the I Am presence. Before a movie star or attending bar, the journey's not far to shoot consciousness par. It begins and ends right where you are. Self-love breaks the mold in warmth, not enough told or sold. From that place, let your ego back in from the perceived separation cold. Then, from that deep, unified love with eagle vision from above, engage another human soul, brother or sister. Reconnect with your mother, father, or lover, or find a new perceived other. Agree to polish the mirrors, clean the perceptive lens. If you need to, start over again. If you have eternity without end, do it. Two is one. Now starts the fun. And with this new love one, think of expanding the tribe. Maybe now reach outside, out of the box, taxi, car, or the bus ride, like the Who did drive the magic bus for the wedding party invited by you as groom or bride a century or so ago. It was a horse you were astride with friends or family along for the wagon ride. Technology's changed. Everything is a new game. Whether seeking fortune or fame or directing your own movie to name, but always look beneath to see what is the same. For as I see it, we're all playing the love game. And if you forgot, that's why you're here. That's why you came. So just stop and meditate, contemplate, cogitate, even prostrate. Bow down to all hate and release their hold of control of your God-given fate to be in love and awake. Time for our true presence to retake and the separation heartache. It's an evolutionary make or break. All human beings are on the earth bus. Time to end the fear. Learn to trust that love is us. Self-realization or bust. Share as you must. All one tribe, starting with a perceived you inside. Then build a nest where your love can rest with a perceived other, making love to one another in all its permutations, frequency, and vibrations. Pick your partner, evolve your nations. Next stop, your tribal station. Hey, that's us, Age Nation.
You know, Alan, you always do such a terrific job with those raps. It's so wonderful, you know, the number of different ways in which information and inspiration gets communicated. So the theme of living no faster than feeling can follow, the all of the different things that we get a chance to play with together on this show. Always great to be with you, always great to collaborate.
Thank you very much for saying that, because you know, if you start to realize this over a period of time of doing radio, it's orchestrated by something else. You may think you're doing part of it, but it comes together in a magical way.
Yeah.
Like on the magic bus.
Nice show. Nice show.
Okay, thanks.
Age Nation Radio.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead? Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 Book Awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.